Hi everyone, this is Diva from Blood Hunter and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. This is where we usually dive into the albums and bands that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake. And make sure you visit our website, themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And for all podcast-related issues, you can visit our podcast website, which is themetalpitpodcast.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast. And you can find us on YouTube at The Metal Pit 666. And you can, if you have any suggestions or questions or comments or whatever, email me podcast@themetalpit.org. Today we're doing, this is our 100th episode, and I have three writers from the Metal Pit on this episode. So first I'll just introduce them. We got Eric, John, and Lance. How are you guys all doing tonight?
Doing good, Blake.
Hey Blake, thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, and yes, you're all writers for the Metal Pit, and first, since this is our 100th episode, we're going to do something a little different, but first, on behalf of the podcast, I would like to thank all our listeners, whether you've been around for most of our three seasons, or if maybe this is your first episode, and if it is your first episode, make sure you go back and listen to the other 99, some of them. Let's see. I'd also like to thank all the different guests we've had on the podcast. I can't name them all. I've had some from bands, some just fans of the podcast that wanted to be on. And like I said, usually writers from the Metal Pit. We got some good guests coming up, and you know, we're still in the third. I think I start the new season in September or October. I forget, whatever. But anyway, it's our 100th episode, so we're happy to still be going. And now, so usually we just talk about one album, but we're going to do something different since it's our 100th episode. And as you probably see in the description, and that's why you're maybe watching this one, this could be why you're watching your first or listening to your first episode of the podcast, is I picked a year out from the 1980s, and we're going to decide what is the best album from 1984 in hard rock, heavy metal, mostly heavy metal, I think, but there's a few hard rock things in here. But before we get to that, so we're going to do that a little later. But first, I have some questions related to heavy metal in 1984 that I'm going to throw at these guys just to see what their answer is. So my first question is, what was the best album cover from 1984? Was it Iron Maiden's Power Slave or Dio's Holy Diver? Eric, what do you think?
Ooh, that is a tough one. I've got to go. I always love the Egyptian, like, history and look. So I'm going to give Power Slave the edge, but Last in Line is incredible artwork as well.
Oh, sorry. I said Holy Diver. I meant, was it Last in Line?
Last in Line.
Sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah, Last in Line, which is excellent. Yeah. What's funny is you said Holy Diver, and I'm looking at Last in Line. But those are both phenomenal covers by Dio, yes. But I'm giving Power Slave the edge over both of them, but Last in Line, sorry. Since it's the same year.
Yeah, sorry. Last in Line. Okay, John, do you have a preference of what's the best album cover of those two?
Yeah, for the cover art, definitely. I think I'm going to go with the Last in Line. It's just iconic. They both are. They're both great, certainly. Power Slave was, as much as I love the album, it's my favorite Iron Maiden album. It's actually some of my least favorite cover art of theirs. Especially when you stack it up against like Killers or something like that. But I'm going to go with Last in Line on this one.
Okay. And Lance, what do you think?
John stole my thought process too. Of all the Maiden covers, Power Slave is probably one of my least favorites. And yeah, Dio, you got to go with Dio.
Well, I might have to leave. This is like Power Slave is one of my absolute favorites. Besides the t-shirt I'm wearing, it's a tie.
Hold on the answer.
Ace, a tie. But
just wondering what people think. I'm not doing any battle here, but I would pick Power Slave. I don't know. I like when it came out, I just remember all the detail of the hieroglyphics and all that stuff.
Derek Briggs, numero uno, man.
I mean, he's got all these little things that were on it. And I'm sure there's other, and if anybody wants to throw my questions, if you want to throw in other suggestions that
tidbits
top of your head you can, but I just thought I would just limit the album cover thing to two there. But
good idea.
Okay. And the second question is one that I did prepare you for. The rest you don't know the questions, but who would you prefer, Bruce Dickinson or Rob Halford singing? John, we'll start with you on that one. Who's your best there?
Tough call. They're both phenomenal legends, icons, synonymous with heavy metal. Now, I'm going to roll with Bruce. The operatic style seems to really fit what Iron Maiden did and continues to do this day. But yeah, nothing but love and respect for Rob Halford as well. Still getting it done at age 70-something. But for me, just as a preference of styles, I've got to go with Bruce Dickinson on that.
And Lance, what do you think?
Tough, basically almost like a coin toss, but I go Rob Halford. I just his melodies in concert, the way he can still hit those high notes and everything, it's just phenomenal. No knock on Dickinson at all, but I give the nod to Rob Halford.
And Eric?
Yeah, this one, I won't say it's difficult, but like Rob Halford, easily, he is like the metal god. He's top five for me, probably top three, honestly. But Bruce Dickinson is part of the allure to me for Iron Maiden. Steve Harris, obviously, with all his writing. But Bruce Dickinson, I feel like he has this gruffness to his voice. And then also he can hit some of those high notes. And he hits that air raid siren. Man, he can just do it. Number of the Beast. There's no better shriek. Yeah, that's the state that he praise. Yeah. I like Dickinson's style slightly better. Like, they're both so incredible. But Dickinson is actually my favorite lead vocalist ever, so I have to go with Bruce. He's quite a showman, too. Bruce,
just because, like, Iron Maiden is the first group I really heard when I really got into heavy metal, so it's like, and it was the Number of the Beast album that I heard first, so I would pick, and I like Maiden better than Priest, but I like Priest, too, not as much as Maiden. Now, this next question might be hard for you guys because you're all Americans. I think Lance
we'll try.
The best chance of answering this question, I think. So if you have to pass, Eric and John, it's okay. So what is the best Canadian hard rock metal album of 1984? I have a bunch of choices here. Kick-Ass, Vices, Exciter, their album Violence and Force, Triumph, their album Thunder 7, Boy Bod, their album War and Pain, or Helix, their album Walking the Razor's Edge. Lance, I'm sure you have an answer for this one.
Yeah, you know, the one I'm going with, because I remember buying it, I remember hearing it on Shome, because we listened to Shome FM out of Montreal religiously, was Helix, Walking the Razor's Edge. That was the one I was the most familiar with. Rock You was a big hit. I played that at all the school dances. The cover, Gimme, Gimme Good Lovin', Make Me Do Anything You Want. Yeah. For me, that was no knock on any of those. I realize it's more of a rock than a metal, but yeah, I go with that one.
Eric, do you have an answer?
I mean,
it's funny. I was just scrolling through my phone. I remember seeing, I don't know those bands too much. I feel like Exciter's one of those bands. You mentioned them a couple times, Blake. Like, you mentioned them all up air too. I feel like it's just one of those bands I really need to look at because James Hetfield cites them as an influence. They've been around that long, and they're like early. I don't know if they're considered like pre-speed metal, but like they have some pretty fast stuff and some aggressive stuff. And I've heard Helix before, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Who was the very first band you mentioned?
Kick-Ass.
Okay. I remember the name, but I couldn't name a song.
They had a song. The biggest song was Heavy Metal Shuffle. I don't know.
Okay. I don't think I knew that one.
Yeah, that was another big one we played.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm out of luck here, so I guess I'm gonna have to pass. And it's a shame Annihilator. I guess Annihilator wasn't Devil's Pre Annihilator.
I think did they have an album that year? I think they did.
Or is that did they have a debut?
Include it in this quest.
What was Alice and Hell, 87 or 88?
Yeah, they didn't have an album. No, they didn't. Or wait, Best Band. They didn't have an album out, but I do have them in a later question thing. But
okay.
They didn't have an album out.
Neither. Dig those guys.
Yeah. John, do you have an answer to that question?
Boy Bob, man. What else is there? Those guys were pioneers, man. They're such a huge influence on all the crazy shit that I listen to today, being an old death metal and thrash metal guy. And you got to go Boy Bob, like, hands down.
Okay, I don't really need to answer these questions, but because I listen to
Wow. Blake, can I throw out one little tidbit on that Helix album?
Pardon?
Can I throw out one little tidbit on that Helix album?
Yes.
It's out there somewhere. I believe it's on YouTube. The video for Gimme Gimme Good Lovin'. There's an original adult version that has a very young Tracy Lords in the video.
I have that on DVD, I have it on VHS.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yes. All righty then.
Yeah.
It had an uncensored version where the girls that were dancing were topless.
Hey, now.
But yeah, so you should look.
One of them was Tracy Lords.
Yeah. I don't know if I remember that. It's been a while since I watched that. So
that's a cool factoid, by the way, Lance.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it.
I could have included this album, but I figured now Lee Aaron's Metal Queen album.
Metal Queen.
And I've heard some of her stuff, but I don't own an album by her. I've heard her before.
That was whatever. That it's not very heavy now. Back then you thought, oh, this is cool, but now this isn't very heavy. But anyway, it was still good and clear. She's still around, not really doing metal.
Yeah, she put out an album not that long ago, I think.
Yeah, I reviewed it actually, I think, on the website. Yeah. It was a cover. She was doing covers.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, next question. Now I have best metal video. I have three choices here. So you might have to remember in your head. That's why I didn't give anybody. But one is Twisted Sisters. I'm not positive these videos came out in 84, but the albums came out in 84. Okay, Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It, Iron Maiden's 2 Minutes to Midnight, or Van Halen's Hot for Teacher. Eric, what's your favorite video of those three?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, don't do this to us, Blake.
You probably remember though.
I do. The hard part is like the whole We're Not Gonna Take It. Somehow the middle school that I went to, which was a terrible place, they let us have this like afternoon where we got to watch like hard rock videos, and like they played We're Not Gonna Take It. And I was like, do you understand what this song, like the message in this song is? Yeah, it's hard. That's such a nostalgic and like fun memory, but 2 Minutes to Midnight had like even more like sentimentality for me. And I taught it to a guitar student of mine last year, and the video is so awesome. And I'm like, Derek Riggs is my favorite, at least as far as album covers, he's my favorite artist. That's why I didn't bat an eye with Power Slave. Everything that he's done, I really appreciate. So you have quite a bit of some Eddies in there, and it's a serious topic, but it's well done. I like the video a lot. I do love We're Not Gonna Take It, but I gotta go with 2 Minutes.
Okay, John, what's your choice?
Oh, Twisted Sister, hands down. I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in the MTV generation, and that was just an anthem for us. It really was, still is. I think the videos are cheesy as hell. They're comical or whatever. Twisted Sister never really got the credit they deserved for as good as they really were.
But very much so.
Once you get into the deep cuts, especially, but it's just such a fun, and they got Niedermeyer from Animal House. Come on, dude. Like, Twisted Sister, dude, like, hands down, that's one of my all time favorite videos.
And Lance, what do you think?
Twisted Sister pin on your uniform?
You gotta get the double of We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock. You know,
Rock probably would have took it for me, but yeah.
Yeah, I carried an M16 and you carry that electric twanger.
And that was
what you know, with it? Your lungs.
Your life.
Exactly.
I want rock.
Sitting at the desk.
Nobody likes the hot teachers dancing in the Van Halen video.
That was no good.
Complaints.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Okay. Now, best EP of 1984. So I didn't include this in our albums because they're not full album. And I'm sure I might miss some, but anyway, I got Slayer's Haunting the Chapel, Sabotage's Dungeons Are Calling, AC/DC's 74 Jailbreak, or Overkill, whatever. Who are we starting with? John, you have a choice of one of those ones.
Haunting the Chapel. That was my introduction to Slayer. Obviously, I missed it by a few years because I was younger. I was like 8 in 1984, whatever. But when I first heard it in 1990 or 91, I think it was 90, it was a gateway album for me. That and Live Undead were the first two Slayer releases I had ever heard. And yes, Temple Warfare and the title track are both just phenomenal to this day. If it wasn't for Haunting the Chapel, I wouldn't be listening to half the shit I listen to today. So a lot of sentimental value. The songs, I think, still hold up really well. So, yeah, for me, it's Slayer.
And Lance, what's your choice?
I gotta go with AC/DC just because that's the one that at the time, the others I didn't really get into later, I'll admit. So yeah, I gotta go with AC/DC.
And Eric?
It's pretty close, but I think Slayer for me, like those first 2 to 3 albums really made an impact on me. I didn't listen to it a whole lot. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, Show No Mercy. Oh yeah, like those first 2 to 3 albums were pretty like terrifying as a teenager. What the hell is this, man? Is it legal to listen to this? I remember I was with friends were like, whoa. And at one point, I remember we had like a legal substance. We were listening to Slayer and I was like, man, this is some extra scary shit going on. But yeah, I like the Overkill. It's funny, as much as I love Sabotage, I didn't listen to Dungeons a whole lot. So I would say Slayer's 1 and Overkill would be like 1A or 1B.
I don't even think I listened to that Overkill, at least back then. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I don't think I discovered them until their, I guess, the first album, Hello from the Gutter. Is that the first album? Or that's not the first album, second album?
No,
first album.
Yeah.
Hello from the Gutter came out.
Third album. That's the third full-length album.
I don't think I really listened.
Under the Influence was Hello from the Gutter was on that.
Right. Yeah, Under the Influence. But yeah, so I don't think I said I listened to him until then, but all the rest I listened to a lot. But I think I'd probably, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Sabotage because I did like that one back then. Okay, best comedy metal album of 1984. Spinal Tap or Bon Jovi? Okay, that's just a joke. Never mind. You don't have nothing against Bon Jovi. Okay, that was just a joke. I couldn't find any other comedy albums.
I already told you my sentimental on Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi did not make my playlist, my 1984 playlist. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, New Jersey. I apologize.
Good albums, but I don't know if it's that album was very good. I don't really remember. Whatever.
I was trying to think. I'd be a couple of years earlier. I was thinking Bob and Doug McKenzie, but that was like 82.
Yeah, because I couldn't.
You've got to give props to Spinal Tap because their speakers are set to 11.
True. Hello, Cleveland.
And they're making a new Spinal. They're making a new Spinal Tap movie.
That's right. Yes,
it's out this year or not, but I don't know if they're going to make an album or not. But some of the songs are pretty good, really. Stonehenge, that was good.
Nice.
Bottoms, Big Bottoms was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, next question. Real question. The best band that formed in 1984, but they did not have an album in 1984. They just formed.
Ooh.
So I got Helloween, Obituary, Annihilator, Sepultura, or Iced Earth. And I think I'm starting with Lance here.
Wow. Oh, wow. I gotta go Sepultura. Because I remember when I was in, I can't remember whether it was Columbia House or RCA Record Club, I ordered like all the Sepultura albums, not even knowing what I was getting into, and loved them. Listened to them like front to back, beginning to end, first one to the last one. Yeah, I'm going to go Sepultura. Because once I discovered them, I was hooked.
And Eric, what's your choice?
You know, it's funny. If you would ask me, back in the heyday, I would have said Helloween, but I became a really huge Iced Earth fan, and I mean, I still like them. It's funny, my like songs spun around to me from Spotify, and not the Dark Saga, but yeah, like Horror Show popped on there, and I was like, oh my God, I love this stuff. I gotta go. For me, it's pretty easy. I'm gonna go Iced Earth. I love what Schaefer and the boys have put together, so I'm gonna go with Iced Earth.
And John?
Again, I love Iced Earth. Absolutely. Those guys are awesome. And Sepultura. Fun note, I just last month saw the Cavalera boys were playing with Necrod in Greensboro, so I got to see half of Sepultura for the very first time. So that was big show for me, very big show. But being an old death metal guy, and Blake knows where I'm going to go with this, I've got to say Obituary. They are the roots. They are the OG of so much of what I listen to, and they're still cranking out albums, and they're still touring, and they sound just as good live, especially today, as they did back then. So for me, it's Obituary. That's really where my roots are.
I figured that was going to be your answer when I was making up the question. because death metal started in 1985 then, because they would be one of the first, and I think Massacre was starting. Well, and
you got to look at Possessed. Venom came out in 81, and whether or not you consider Venom to be a death metal band or a black metal band, it really gets traced back to that too. But Obituary was one of the first, and they're still at it today. So I think that's a testament to their longevity and their creativity. And yeah, for me, it's definitely Obituary.
And if I had, I think I would pick Halloween, because I've always loved Halloween out of all those. And Annihilators, one guy in Annihilators, Canadian, but
Waters. Blake, okay. So real quick, Blake, do you own every Halloween album? I feel like you own them all, or maybe you're missing one or an EP.
Just be on Spotify, I guess. I necessarily buy those once that all started, but I've probably heard everyone, yes.
Yeah, you got a kick-ass collection of Halloween. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but I do. Yeah, I don't know why. I have a ton of the CDs, too. Okay, best debut album of 1984 that isn't on our list of our top 16 that we're going to do later in the podcast. So I got Anthrax's Fistful of Metal, Armored Saint's March of the Saint, Gravedigger's Heavy Metal Breakdown, Yngwie Malmsteen's Rising Force, or Queensryche. Oh, that's on our list, isn't it? Okay, forget that. Forget I said Queens. Those other four, who am I starting with? Eric, which one's your favorite of those ones?
I'm sorry, can you rattle that off one more time?
Armored Saint, Anthrax, Gravedigger, Yngwie Malmsteen. You remember?
I still really dig Armored Saint, but Raising Tear was the one that really stuck with me. And I've got March of the Saint, but believe it or not, I think I'm going to go Yngwie, because I think a little bit of it's more of a throwback, because that first album, like he took what Ritchie Blackmore did, and like maybe only John Rawls there around the same time. He just pushed the envelope with the neoclassical shredding, and it was just so innovative. And it's funny, because I guess at the time, I shouldn't say I guess, but he had Shrapnel Records in the 80s, but it's all instrumental except two tracks.
I think so.
So I got to go with Malmsteen, man. That first album was just lightning in a bottle, and just, it was so shocking to what else was out there at the time too.
And John, do you have a choice from those ones?
Black Star. I love Black Star.
For me, probably a Fistful of Metal. Scott Ian's just the man. I'm not really a huge Anthrax fan, but out of that selection is probably my favorite album. And the cover art's just classic, so you can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
But for me, it's Anthrax.
And Lance, you have one there?
I got to go with Yngwie, because I remember hearing about him, and I think I heard a little bit of him for the first time on a college radio station up here, and I was just blown away. And I didn't get to see him until 85. I saw him open up for AC/DC, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was an interesting double bill. And plus, I've interviewed both Jeff Scott Scotto and Mark Bowles, and I actually got them both to say something nice about Yngwie. And so it was,
that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that album just changed everything. And I agree. Dark Star, some of those live recordings of him doing that one out there are really good.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'd pick Anthrax just because I love the song Metal Thrashing Mad.
Great tune.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, I just have two answers to this question. Steve Vai or Eddie Van Halen? Who's your guy, John?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if you listen to
Steve Vai. Steve Vai. Growing up when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be Eddie Van Halen. And certainly not taking anything away from him. He changed the way lead guitar was played. Steve, I think, is just a little more artistic, a little more innovative. I'd prefer Steve Vai, just personal preference.
And Lance?
I agree with John. Eddie Van Halen is Eddie Van Halen. He was never going to be another one. But Steve Vai, yeah. What did it for me was when I saw him with David Lee Roth a couple of times. He was good. When I saw him, that tour he did with Whitesnake, he just elevated that band. Yep.
That was a killer show. I'm with you, man. Yeah.
Elevated that band to another level. And yeah. Yeah, for my own personal preference, not any knock on Eddie Van Halen at all, Steve Vai.
And Eric, yours is probably Steve Vai too.
Yeah, it's going to be unanimous. So Eddie Van Halen obviously is like the pioneer. He's influenced many of like my idols. So I have to give him like huge props. I always will. But like I learned Eruption back in the day and it took some time. I won't lie. It took some time. But yeah, Steve Vai, like if you were to just take Passion and Warfare, I listened to that album for 6 months. I drove my girlfriend crazy. She's you're still listening to that? I said, this is my favorite album right now. At like 1990, I listened to it beginning to end. But he's so innovative. I feel like Eddie did some amazing things. He has an array of techniques, But Steve Vai, like, he's still pushing it. His last album, he had Teeth of the Hydra, and he played a three-neck guitar. And I saw him play it, and he's playing all three sustaining notes. He's playing chords on one. He's playing a melody on another. I saw him live with Satriani, and I was like, this guy just, he continues pushing the envelope. And his sense of melody, and John Petrucci, I would say he's my favorite guitarist right now. But I would say Steve Vai is the most creative guitarist of any genre that I've ever heard before. Like the way he thinks, the way he orchestrates, just nobody has that extra range that he does. He's out there, but it really works. He's amazing.
Okay. And I would have took Steve Vai too. Okay. Last question.
I'll tell you though, can I throw in one thing here, Blake?
Yep.
The one album that Eddie gets a lot of credit for that Van Halen wasn't a real big seller was Fair Warning. Now, yeah. Was that Fair Warning? The Brown album, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Do I have it right?
Yes. It was pretty dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I'll tell you what. Yeah. The other album, I had this and I played it once. I was like, Jesus, what the hell is this shit? And then I pulled it out a few years later and played it. And it has its moments. Van Halen 3, the one they did with Sharon. There's two or three songs on there. Some of Eddie's best work that nobody probably knows.
I might have to go give it a listen, Lance.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to wallow through it, but it's there.
Okay. I'm a sucker for some Mean Street, though, since you pulled up Fair Warning.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. Now, there wasn't a lot of choices here, but the best live album of 1984. Now, I don't know how much you guys listen to live albums, so you might just play the group's name here, but I have Gary Moore with his We Want Moore album, Michael Schenker Group with Rock Will Never Die, Raven with Live at the Inferno, or Slayer with Live Undead. Lance.
Oh, my God. I can immediately, this is a toss-up. I don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with one. Between the Schenker and the Moore, I saw Gary Moore in 83 on a tour with, it was Gary Moore, Crocus, and Def Leppard. Def Leppard was on a Pyromania tour. Their show was just amazing. But Michael Schenker's been one of my all-time favorites. But I'm going to go Gary Moore. I got to go Gary Moore. Just an incredible guitarist that a lot of people probably don't really know about. Schenker maybe even more, but again, just comes down to personal taste, Gary Moore.
Yeah. Eric?
Yeah, Gary Moore's, it's interesting because oftentimes, and Blake knows this, I typically just being a guitarist, I've played for almost 40 years now, which is crazy, but just oftentimes I'll choose the shredder or the lead guitar guy. But I feel like for me, like just because I listened to it more and it probably that at that time it made more of an impact on me, I'd have to say Slayer because you have Die by the Sword. And what's the other one that I like a lot? I don't think the Antichrist and Show No Mercy. I got to say it's going to be Slayer's an underdog for me on the undercard for me on this, like these options here, because normally I'd go with the lead guys, but. And Moore definitely played with a lot of soul, man. But and Schenker, obviously, he's got the pyrotechnics. But I'm going to go with Slayer here, Live Undead.
And John, are you going with Slayer?
Yeah, I got to go with Slayer. Again, it is a pretty big influential album for me as a metalhead and as a longtime fan. It's funny because it's not even really one of the better live albums I've ever listened to. It just had a lot more impact, but it's raw. It's underproduced. You can hear there's maybe five people in the crowd, but it's just, it's awesome, man. It's for what it is, it's awesome. And just the energy of it. And it's got a great track listing like Black Magic and whatnot on there. So yeah, for me, it's Slayer and it's not even a question.
And it, I don't even think it's really a full album. Like, it's pretty short, I think, too, but there was
7 songs. Man, it's 23 minutes. Are you kidding me? Wow.
It might only be really an EP, but I didn't know. Yeah. Wasn't a lot of other choices, so those are the 4 I had there.
Yeah.
I know I listen to Raven a lot just because I really like their All For One album, so I did listen to that live album a lot.
Is that Live at the Inferno, Blake?
Yes.
Yeah, I had that on vinyl at one point. Great album.
Yes, I have that one. Okay, so those are those questions, and those were fun, and we learned a lot about each other. Okay, so now, to explain this to listeners or viewers or whatever, so I picked 16 albums from 1984, and since I'm a Canadian and I live in Canada and watch hockey, and there's always 16 teams that make the playoffs, so that's how I did this. I picked 16 teams, and now we're going to go one team against another team or one album against another album, and we're going to vote on which album is the best of those two, and then once we get through the first 8 rounds, we go to the last 8 albums, and then we'll do the same thing, just like we're going to the Stanley Cup, but we're going to the Metal Pit Cup for 1984.
I love it. It's awesome.
And so it's just a random, I randomly picked the first round of things here. So here we go. And I'm going to start with Eric, I guess. I think I'm back to starting with you, but I'm going to start with you. And we're going with Iron Maiden's Power Slave against White Snake's Slide It In.
I've got one song title for you. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. It obliterates the entire Slide It In album. So I'm going with the Power Slave. Yes, that was very opinionated, but that's how I feel.
That's
John. Up the irons.
Power Slave, it's not even a question. If you look at the deep cuts of Iron Maiden, Back in the Village is the greatest song no one ever talked about.
Nice call.
It's phenomenal. The musicianship is unreal. These bass lines are relentless. It's probably, and I know it's probably too early to get into this, but it's probably my favorite album of 1984. With Defender, the close number 2. So for me, Power Slave all day, every day.
And Lance?
While I didn't like the cover, I do like the album more. Got to go Power Slave over Slide It In.
And I love the Slide It In album, but yeah, I wouldn't pick it over Iron Maiden. So yeah, so that's a sweep for Iron Maiden. That one.
Get the brooms out.
Sorry, David Coverdale, but if Whitesnake could have went up against somebody else, maybe they would have won. Or maybe they would have got at least better votes. Okay, now we got Judas Priest, Defenders of the Faith against Queensryche's The Warning. And I think I know where this is going to go too, but John, what's your choice?
Defenders of the Faith, hands down. It was one of the very first heavy metal tapes I've ever owned. Got it back in like 1990. I was like 14 years old at the time. It's probably their best album of the 1980s. I know a lot of people would disagree with me, debate with Screaming for Vengeance or whatever. It's my personal favorite of that era. Just a great album. It's flawless from beginning to end. So Defenders of the Faith, hands down.
And where was it? Oh, Lance? Sorry.
And I am so tempted to go Queensryche. So tempted, but you really can't go against Judas Priest. Yeah, I got to go Priest, but I'll tell you, it's closer than what I thought it would be. I'm very Queensryche album, Take Hold of the Flame. And then I just put them on there, projected them onto their whole career, but you can't go against Priest, at least at this round.
Yes. Okay. And I would take Priest. And Eric, who you taking?
Yeah, this is early Queensryche. It's more of it's almost kind of like power metal meets prog metal. Or I'm going to say Roads to Madness. Just check that out if none of you three have. That's quite an epic, very well-written song. The dynamics are incredible. NM156. But Defenders of the Faith, I would say off the top of my head, that's like my second favorite Priest album. So I'm a huge Priest fan. So I'm going to have to go Defenders, Eat Me Alive. The Sentinel, got to give some love. That song does not get enough recognition. Such a great album. Love that album.
Lawbreaker.
Yeah, it's a great tune. Love that live. Yeah, it's awesome live. It's faster and heavier. Yeah.
Okay, so it's another clean sweep.
You took Priest too?
Yes.
Okay. I saw Queensryche on that tour open for Kiss.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
At least the Queensryche part. Sorry, Kiss.
I did. I like
it. It's a good live show.
Yeah, they do. It's been a long time. I did see Kiss in 88, but yeah, I mean, Queensryche back then must have been incredible, though.
It just dawned on me as we're talking about these two groups. I saw them, let's see, was the year my daughter was born, 2005. Queensryche opened for Priest. Priest was touring Angel of Retribution. What a show that was.
I love that album. Yeah, that's a kick-ass album. Man.
Jeff Tate and Rob Halford on the same stage. That was phenomenal.
That's awesome. I saw those two bands in 2021.
Really?
Now, it wasn't Jim Tate, sadly, but it was still a great... They played a bunch of stuff off of Rage for Order, and that is a ridiculously tasty album. It was
Todd
McTorick
can bring it.
Yep. Oh, and Halford was still hitting some of those crazy notes. He had the long delay going, but he was still hitting these really high notes.
Victim of Changes.
He had his white goatee going, man. It was like 8 inches long, but he was still nailing their boots. Victims got to be it, man. Yeah. I could talk Priest for hours, but
yeah. We hijacked your thing here.
The show must go on.
Okay. Round three of this first, not round three, but whatever. Ronnie James Dio's The Last in Line, not Holy Diver, The Last in Line versus Deep Purple's Perfect Strangers. Lance.
This is easy. I'm going to go Dio just because the album, the man, still the greatest concert I've ever seen in my life when I saw him on Sacred Heart Tour. Deep Purple, Perfect Strangers, interestingly enough, recorded in Stowe, Vermont, which is about 30 minutes from where I am sitting right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm going in order. I know how we're positioned on your cameras or on your monitors. But anyway, I'm going in order. So I'm next, and I'm saying Dio as well. Even though I did Perfect Strangers album, and I think that was the first tour I seen Deep Purple on was for that album, because I was probably too young to see them before with the other albums or whatever. So yeah, I would take Dio as well. And Eric?
Yeah, it's Deep Purple, definitely. They have their moments. My sister played this album a lot back in the day, and I don't own it, but I respect the material on there. But Last in Line is just, I told you before, I came clean on like a podcast. I was like, why on earth did I only rate it an 8? That's just wrong. It's got to be a 9, 9.5, maybe even a 10. So like Last in Line is just open to close. I've been listening to my playlist over the weekend, and I speed at night. I mean, Egypt, One Night in the City. Such the title track is one of Dio's best, finest songs. I don't know if that can even be argued. That's such just is such a paramount song. It really just set the stage. And I remember watching the video, and the video is like super cheesy, but it's 1984. Maybe I don't know if the video came out in 84, 85, but I remember it's a little cheesy, but I just love that slow beginning, that build up, and then coming home. And I will try to come closer up repeating that. Especially consuming some beer, but Ronnie James, man, wow, rest in peace. I finally got to see him. I didn't get to see him. Dio, they were supposed to play with Yngwie, and they didn't sell enough tickets at George Mason University. So we were pretty salty about it, but I did see him with Heaven and Hell, and I am so grateful because his voice, oh my God, his voice sounded so great. And they played with Priest, and I actually liked Heaven and Hell's set list better than Priest, which I never thought I would say that, but I liked their song. They were nailing it, man. Falling Off the Edge of the World, Sign of the Southern Cross, Heaven and Hell. I said, yep, you got me.
What a show.
I could watch this for 10 hours, man. He's brilliant. Carry on.
John, is it a clean sweep with you?
Yeah,
too?
Get your brew bow. I like Deep Purple. I like Deep Purple. I don't love them. And you could make the argument that Ronnie James Dio is the greatest pure singer of our generation. And yeah, he's an absolute wizard on stage. So yeah, it's not even close for me.
And also just mention that Deep Purple, that's when they reunited because they broke up. And then that was Perfect Strangers almost when they got back together again with Ian and Richie.
The Mark II lineup, I believe.
Yes. But anyway, yeah, so we've had three sweeps so far. So here we go. Next one. I got Wasp. I guess it's the debut album, right? Wasp, self-titled. Against Rats, Out of the Cellar. And I think I'm starting this one, I guess. And I'm going to make this one not a sweep because I'm going to pick Rat. No, I liked Wasp, but I remember this Rat album, Out of the Cellar. And even though I probably never listen to it now, but it's still, I liked that album a lot back then. So I'm taking Rat. And Eric, who you taking? I know you're taking Wasp, but anyway.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I shared this with you like in a text, but like Rat, they have some good songs. And I'm pretty particular about the old, like the hair rock stuff. But Wanted Man's a good song. Round and Round got overplayed. But Warren DeMartini, man, wow, that cat can rip, man. Tim and Lynch were like those West Coast lead players. Oh my God, they're great. And Piercy, I'll give him credit. He's got his own sound, but that first, yes. That first Wasp album, I'm actually, this might be a little controversial. Like Last Command is my go-to Wasp album if I'm going to rock some Wasp. But that debut album is a strong debut, man. Love Machine, B.A.D. Obviously, the songs go on, but I love me some Wasp, especially those first 3 to 4 albums. They're great. So Wasp for me.
And John?
Blake, I got to agree with you. I got to go with Rat on this one. Wasp was just, he started getting into the Manimal and shit like that. It was just a little too cheesy for me. And I have glammy roots. Like I said, I grew up in the MTV generation. For me, Rat was definitely my choice here.
And Lance, what do you think?
I got to go Wasp. I Want to Be Somebody was my anthem. I love Hellion.
There we go.
And back in my DJing days doing school dances, when you had an album like this, I was dying to play one of the songs off it, and you could always go to the ballad. And I remember playing Sleeping in the Fire at
Sleeping
a school
in the
dance.
Nice.
Yeah, I like Wasp.
Okay, so now we have a tie. This is our first tie, and I don't know how to break the tiebreaker. How about we...
Sorry to interrupt. I would say you guys choose your favorite Rat song, and I feel like it's safe to say maybe Lance and I could say, I Want to Be Somebody. And I feel like that would be a really tough song to compete with. But
yeah, I was going to pick the top song from each album, not necessarily my favorite song, but the song that was the most successful. So Rat, it would be Round and Round, I guess, probably, or maybe One Again. I don't know. Again,
Round and Round was a huge hit. Yeah
you'd have to give Rat the nod then, because they had a much bigger hit than anything off the Wasp debut album.
So are we going to do, say it's Rat, the winner?
Let's go with Rat. Let's go with Rat.
Rat in
it'll
overtime.
Make it more interesting. It'll make it more interesting.
Rat scored in overtime, I guess, to win.
There we go. Went to the shootout.
2-1. 2-1. 2-1.
Okay. So that was there. It's an upset. I guess that's at least I had Wasp rated. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. Now we might be back to a sweep here. I'm pretty sure, but we'll see. We got Metallica, Ride the Lightning. Yes, Ride the Lightning against Van Halen's 1984. John.
Oh, come on, man. Let's Ride the Lightning. Like, why do we even need to debate this? It's some of the best material Metallica has ever written. It's my second favorite album of theirs, after Master of Puppets, naturally. And you could make a case it's the best album of 1984. I do love Power Slave and Defenders, maybe just a little bit more. But it's a big influence on me as a young metalhead. It's another one of the first tapes I'd ever had. Yet. Come on, man. Really?
Hence,
Metallica.
Okay. And I would be Metallica easily, Eric.
Creeping Death, Call of Cthulhu, Fight Fire with Fire.
Trapped Under Ice.
Sorry, Eddie.
Under Ice.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
If it was up against Fair Warning, maybe, but not 1984
nice
either.
Yeah, I didn't. 84 is a nice album. Like, I Always like, a great song. I heard like, I'll Wait today, and I was like, I forgot how much I like that song.
I only have 2 songs on my Van Halen album. I think I was getting sick of them.
There's nothing off 84 that really has me reaching for the volume knob. I Grace Up, but I've heard it all too much. Jump, Panama,
The Hit,
Tougher Teacher.
It's like The Hits album.
Yeah.
I never really liked Jump because of keyboard. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So next we got Mercyful Fate with Don't Break the Oath against Dokken with Tooth and Nail.
Who am I starting with? Sorry, I lost track.
Go where you want to go.
Lance, I don't remember where it was. Lance, you start. Merciful Fate or Falcon?
You know what? Dokken. For Dokken, this was a heavy album. Granted, they played on Bandstand, whereas Merciful Fate never would. I'm going Dokken, just because it's one I'm a little more familiar with, but that's all I've got.
I did Dokken back then, too, like Tooth and Nail and Under Lock and Key, but I've always loved that Merciful Fate album so much. Don't Break the O's. So, yeah, Merciful Fate for me. Eric?
This is one where I'll feel a little bit of a pang of guilt here, because I feel like I was always a big King Diamond fan and I didn't give Merciful Fate their due. I've got some other stuff, but for whatever reason, like I didn't listen to Don't Break the Oath a whole lot. And I've actually been listening to it like over the last year or so here and there. You come to the Sabbath and One Is Sneaky to One Far Away. That instrumental is really awesome, actually. And I know that's a super influential album, I think, for extreme music pretty early on. And I dig the King, but like Tooth and Nail, that's my go-to Dokken album. And you got Mr. Lynch on that tapping solo at 380 beats per minute. Yes, I'm exaggerating, but oh man, I love that song. Like even the intro, like that first song, right into Tooth and Nail with a quick, that snare roll and they get going. When Heaven Comes Down, a heavy Dokken song, and it's pretty dark sounding. Her Dokken is 84, but I don't want to whisper alone again, but there are some great songs on there. I got to go with Dokken.
Okay, John?
Yeah, I got to go with Dokken on this one. Just the title track alone is phenomenal. Mm. Again, George Lynch on guitar. George Lynch is a guru, and I'm probably going to generate some hate for this, but I really can't stand King Diamond. He's got great vocal range, but he's just way too shrill for me. So, yeah, for me, it's Tooth and Nail, and it's not even close.
Okay, so Dokken wins that one. I take it as an upset myself.
Yes, didn't expect that to happen. Yep.
Side two of that album, When Heaven Comes Down, Into the Fire, Bullets to Spare, Yes, You Have the Ballad Alone Again, and then they crank it back up with Turn on the Action. That's solid, and that's side two.
That closing track, you're spot on, Lance. That's a great closing track, man. It's fast. They get grooving on that one, boy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a better album, I think, than a lot of fans even give it credit for. It really is.
100%.
It's an underrated gem. It's a gem.
Okay, next we got Twisted Sister's Stay Hungry against Trouble's debut album, Trouble. And I'm starting with John, because I should have started with John on the last one. So John.
Oh, dude. Stay Hungry is one of my favorite albums of the 1980s. Obviously, you got the anthems that everybody knows. The anthems are great between I Want to Rock and We're Not Going to Take It. The title track is one of my favorite title tracks of the 80s. I think the title track is phenomenal. It's so up-tempo and just in your fitness. You got your obligatory power ballad in The Price. And I don't really care for power ballads. The Price is a great song, man. The Price is just a great song. And then you get into the deep cuts like Captain Howdy and The Beast and Burning Hell. The deep cuts are really phenomenal. Stay Hungry is a great album, and that's a runaway for me, man. Twisted Sister, easily.
And Lance?
Yeah, I mean, I love Trouble. I got into them in the skull, but Twisted Sister, you can't go against them. Not in 1984. Not in 1984. Yeah. You can't go against Twisted Sister.
Absolutely not.
I'll see what Eric says here. Eric, who are you taking?
So Trouble's another one of those groups. Like, I like what you shared with me. Like, you shared five songs with me, and I need to go back and listen to them some more. I like their sound, but like that Stay Hungry is just, man, opening track to the ending track. And Stay Hungry like that and Come Out and Play, those are like my two favorite Twisted Sister song, hands down. They're like speed metal, and they're melodic, and they're shredding, and there's energy. But then you have, it's funny, because the second song I wrote down, I'm an old school, I used my pen here, and The Price, like a buddy of mine, his band covered it. I was like, fuck yeah, I love that song. It's just, it's got some heart to it. Yes, it's a ballad, but it's just, the melody that Dee Snider has cooking for that chorus is just genius. And it's a nice solo, but But then you got the Burn in Hell, and whoa, man, Twisted Sister got dark. It's heavy. That voice is creepy. It's a great riff. And obviously, SMF, man. I mean, there's, yes, if there can be like an underground or like anthem, like SMF, it's such a great tune, man. That was actually stuck in my head earlier today. So I got to go Twisted Sister. Sorry, Blake, but yeah, I got to go TS on this one.
I love Trouble, but I guess I would probably, even though I like Twisted Sister 2 up to the Stay Hungry album. And actually, my first concert was in the year 1984, and it was Twisted Sister opening up for Iron Maiden, Power Slave.
Wow. Nice.
So I'm going to take Twisted Sister 2 just because it doesn't matter. You might as well sweep them under the rug, too. And
if I could add some. If I could add something real quick, Blake, to me, 80s rock, 80s stadium anthem rock, it's all about power chords, and Stay Hungry is just power chords upon power chords. What's not to like, man? It's a great album. I'm getting all
giddy. It's a fun album.
And it's dark in spots. Yeah. And spots, like I said, you get into Captain Howdy, Street Justice,
the Bees.
Hell. Yeah, it's got
Captain
some
Howdy.
Deep cuts. Yeah. The deep cuts are dark as hell, man. Yeah, sorry, fanboy.
I saw them headline on that tour. It's funny you mentioned them opening up for Maiden. Were doing some shows. I think if I remember, I look back, I want to know how the hell this happened, because they played the Burlington Auditorium, which was a small building up here in Vermont. What happened was they had played like either Boston or Worcester the night before with Maiden, and then they had a night off, and Maiden was getting ready to play those shows at Radio City, I think it was, or Madison Square, one of those venues in New York City.
Yeah,
they had a night off. So Twisted Sister detoured up here, did a show on the night off from the Maiden tour. They had White Lion, an early incarnation of White Lion, pre-Pride opening.
Holy shit.
Their first album. And Twisted Sister came up to Burlington and just rocked the house that night.
That's awesome. That's cool. D is quite the showman.
Yeah, phenomenal show.
Yes.
Okay, and the last battle of this first round, we got the Scorpions with Love at First Sting against Metal Church's first album, self-titled Metal Church.
Don't do this, Blake. Don't do this.
I guess
this, Blake.
I have to start. I'm starting. I never liked the Scorpions, so Metal Church. Eric, what's your choice here?
Okay. So Beyond the Black was playing like 10 minutes before our podcast. But even with that said, I'm looking at my top 16, like all of our albums. Love at First Sting is number 5 for me. Coming Home is one of my favorite Scorpion songs of all time. It starts off nice and slow. You're like, man, is this a ballad? What's going on? And then they just hit you over the head. And the live version somehow is better. I don't know how they pull that off. But that album, beginning to end, I'll listen to it. Yes, I did skip Rock You Like a Hurricane the other day. But Crossfire, Bad Boys Running Wild, such an awesome album. Scorpions for me.
Yeah, definitely the Scorps. Someone said earlier about you can't go against Twisted Sister in 1984. You really can't go against the Scorps in 84 either. I think they were at the height of their power, so to speak, back then. And again, Rocky Like a Hurricane is just, it's an anthem for the 80s. So for me, the Scorps, definitely.
And Lance?
City Nights, The Ballad, Still Loving You. Yeah, you can't go get Scorpions in 84. Although, I'll throw this out. I think Blackout was a better album. Front to back, head to toe. Blackout was solider than Love at First Sting. Yeah.
I can't choose, but Love at First Sting. Oh, so good.
Great album.
So good.
Hey, so I've already made the choice. Now, since it's my website and I'm like the leader of it, I'm making the decisions. So I've already set up the next round, so we're just going to get right into it. Now, so we got the same albums, of course, just different battles now. But we're down to eight teams, I'm thinking hockey again, eight albums. Okay, so I put Iron Maiden's Power Slave up against Rats Out of the Cellar. Eric?
Okay, I believe I just heard Eddie stomp out a rat. Yeah, I'm going to go Iron Maiden without a second thought. Power Slave's one of my favorite albums of all time. And yeah, that's about it for you. Yeah.
John.
Iron Maiden, and it's not even close. Sorry, Rat.
And Lance.
I still don't like the cover, but I'm going to go with Maiden.
He's consistent.
And yeah, I went to also Maiden sweeps again. Okay, then we got Judas Priest against Dawkin. I know these are getting a little bit hard, but John?
Judas Priest for me. I've been a Judas Priest fan since I was 14 years old, and Defenders of the Faith is one of my favorite albums of theirs, if not the favorite of theirs. And we mentioned The Sentinel earlier, and that's got to be my favorite track, but the whole album's phenomenal. So Priest in a landslide.
And Lance?
Priest, but it's close. It's so close, but you got to go Priest.
Okay, I would say Priest. And Eric?
This is the Dawkin album that makes it interesting, but Defenders of the Faith is just, Priest is hitting on all cylinders. British Steel aside, this is like the album, Priest. You can't stop them. Yes. They're just rolling. Absolutely. Screaming for Vengeance had its moments. Defenders is top to bottom a stronger album, and that's not even taking Dawkin into consideration. Sorry, boys. Love you, Lynch, but Priest, let's do it.
Okay, so yeah, so that was another sweep there. Okay, and then we got Ronnie James Dio against Twisted Sister. Lance.
Dio. Oh,
gosh.
Dio, and I don't even have to think about it.
Okay, and I would say Dio as well. Eric?
I guess with the full transparency, I've used this line already twice now tonight. I'm looking, Twisted Sister is high on my list. They're number six. Dio is number four. This is not easy for me. Twisted Sister, man, that album like means so much. But Dio, man, I got to go last in line. It's such a complete album. I love both albums, but Ronnie James, I honestly, and what John said about his vocal, as much as I love Bruce Dickinson, I would never argue with somebody about Ronnie James Dio. Like his command of his vocals, just his presence. There's nobody that's ever going to be like him. And we didn't even talk about Vivian Campbell. I felt like an mishap for not even bringing up some of the brilliant solo work that he's done with Ronnie James Dio. And the rhythm section is pretty strong too. But Vivian, oh my goodness, man, he's a sick guitar player.
And he was young.
Yep. Oh, really young. Yep. So I got to go last in line, man. They're hitting it rolling, man. They're killing it. I love you, D. Snyder. But yeah, man, Dio's, what an album.
And John, who would you, even though we already know who's won, but who would you pick if you were picking?
Twisted Sister, and I will fight and die on that hill. I love me some Power Chords, and Stay Hungry is
in
my top five albums for 1984. Probably clocking in at number four. Yeah, it'll be Twisted Sister for me. But hey.
Great album. Great album.
It really is.
I love it.
I love it. I never tire of it. Never tire of it.
Exactly. And the production's a little bit not quite up to modern standards because it was 1984. But for me, it still sounds great to this day.
Really does.
Okay, and the last one is Metallica against the Scorpions. And since I'm going first, of course, it's Metallica. Eric?
Oh, you had to go to me so fast. Yeah, it's like one of my favorite Scorpions albums. But yeah, I just remember walking down the side street. I don't know, 11:30 at night, being a teenager with some friends. Nobody else liked metal music. It was me. It was like I was the metalhead with, I guess, some jocks, some preps, but a good friend of mine. But I remember we were just blasting it. And I was like, yes, this is just the best music. I was just so into that album. So I got to go. I got to go Metallica, man. Just full throttle on this one.
And John, I think I know your answer, but.
Yeah, The Lightning is a whole other album, man. You can't really.
It really is.
This is another one that it's not even close for me. And I love the Scorps. I love some 80s stadium rock, but Metallica was on a whole other level than any other band really out there at that point in time. This album's a groundbreaker, so Ride the Lightning, definitely.
And Lance, you want to make it a sweep, or do you want to get
I spent more time with that Scorpions album, but you can't deny the influence of Metallica. And from a guy who's still got the Metal Up Your Ass t-shirt, I got to go with Metallica.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're down to our final four, and these are all like four legends, and so it's I didn't know which two to put against each other, so whatever, it's hard to decide. But anyway, I put Iron Maiden up against Dio.
Who's on the other side of this bracket, Blake? Didn't we have Watt? Didn't we have Wasp in there somewhere?
No, Wasp lost to Rat.
Wasp lost to Rat?
I'm sorry. We had a tie, remember?
Okay, yeah, all right, yes. Okay, gotcha. Sorry. Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to jump in.
Yes.
How many have you had?
I'm drinking water.
H2O. Maybe there's vodka in there.
We're in the semifinals. Okay. Four left. Okay. Yeah. So Iron Maiden against Dio. And I'm starting with, Lance. I'm going to start with Lance.
You know what? I don't like the cover, and that's why I'm taking Dio.
Oh, wow.
Dio for me is the Holy Grail. I saw him on the Sacred Heart Tour. It's the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. I've seen Maiden more, but I got to go Dio. For my own feelings, my own sentiment, what it's done for me in my life, I realize I'm probably getting a little more personal than objective, but I got to go Dio.
Okay, and I would take Iron Maiden, even though I love Dio too, and I love that album. But yeah, it was mentioned before about all the deep cuts on the Maiden album that I just think they're... And Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, like one of my favorite songs. Back in the Village, we mentioned Flash of the Blade, whatever. So
the Dullness.
I'm taking Iron Maiden there. Eric, who are you taking, Maiden or Dio?
You know what? I'm thinking about Dio is like one of their, like Dio, maybe their best song could be Holy Diver, which is obviously a different album. And the song Power Slave to me is a better song than anything that Dio has released, in my humble opinion. Then you factor in Aces High. You factor in 2 minutes to midnight. We didn't talk about the Duelist. Flash of the Blade, brilliant. Back in the Village, Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner is one of the best metal songs ever. I guess you could say that. Obviously, Last in Line's one of the best metal songs ever. You can't argue that either. But I'm going to have to go Maiden here.
Okay, and John?
Absolutely.
We had mentioned Vivian Campbell before, who is a god in his own right.
Smoking.
But here's the thing. Nobody's given any love to Dave Murray and Adrian Smith, who...
There you go.
For my money, are the top guitar tandem in metal in the 1980s. And I love Glenn and KK, certainly. But the way Dave and Adrian played off of each other, and we start getting into them twin guitar harmonies and...
Exactly.
Steve's bass lines on top of that. And Steve is a virtuoso, one of my all-time favorite bass players. And Power Slave, again, is probably my favorite Iron Maiden album overall, just because of content. And like I said, Back in the Village is a blazing tune. So for me, it's Iron Maiden.
When they got everybody together to record Stars, who did the guitar, that under guitar, who did they pick to do the basic guitar, the basic riff for that song? Dave Murray and Adrian Smith.
Oh, did they?
That's right. The harmonies. I had to think about the harmonies for a second. I had to.
The harmonies.
Yeah. Nice pull, Lance.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's plenty of harmonies in Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner alone are just wow. And I'm glad John brought up like Back to the Village, man. There are some hot leads in there as well. The twin solos. Wow. The precision, the feel. It's just so great.
Okay, so Iron Maiden wins that one, and then we got Metallica against Judas Priest. I don't know where I'm starting. Eric, I'll start with you.
I almost want to opt out for this one.
You can't opt out on these. You have to have a choice.
Yeah, I don't even have a decision I'm going to make. This is hard. I'm looking at my ratings, and I'm going to keep it true. Ride the Lightning is my second favorite Metallica album. Defenders of the Faith is my second favorite Priest album. Guitar-wise, I would enjoy Ride the Lightning better. But you know what? Halford has something special on Defenders of the Faith. I'm going to be the only one I'm pretty certain that will vote for Priest, and I guess I will sink with the ship. But Defenders of the Faith is just... That album, just... There's something magical about it. And there's, you could say the same about Ride the Lightning. But yeah, Defenders of the Faith is going to give... It's going to be a slight edge. I hate having to choose between these two. I figured it was going to come at some point, but I'm going to go with Priest on this one.
Okay, John, you're taking...
I'm taking Judas Priest, man.
Oh, are you?
Defenders of the Faith is one of my all-time favorite albums. It's an album they both are, Ride the Lightning as well, but these are two albums that I pretty much have grown up with. I've been listening to both since I was 14 years old. There's a certain atmosphere that Defenders of the Faith has. And well, like Eric said, Lightning's got it too. For me, it's Defenders by a hair, by the slimmest of margins, because they're both just such great classic albums. I think I give the edge to Defenders of the Faith. Just Len and KK, man, those lead breaks on the Sentinel, when they start trading off licks, man, that shit's hot. So Defenders by the smallest of margins.
Okay, that's two for Priest. Lance, who you taking?
I'm trying to think. We talked about a few songs. Have we mentioned Free Will Burning yet?
I mean,
that's the opening. That's the opening track. Opening track.
Yeah.
Eat Me Alive.
Oh, it's Blathing.
Eat Me Alive, Heavy Duty, Priest. I go with Priest.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would take Metallica, even though Defenders of the Faith is my favorite Judas Priest album. Ride the Lightning is my favorite Metallica album. But I like Metallica more than Judas Priest, so I would, and I think Ride the Lightning is probably my second favorite album of all time. So I would take Metallica, but it doesn't matter because Judas Priest won. So we have, look at this, we got Iron Maiden against Judas Priest.
Those Brits, man, they got something in the water over there across the pond.
So we're going to start with, now let's hope we don't have a tie, but whatever, we'll figure something out if we do. But John, who are you taking, Defenders of the Faith or Power Slave?
Oh, man.
You can only have one. You're going to die.
These are my two favorite albums of 1984 and two of my favorite albums of the 1980s, period. Power Slave by a hair, man. By hair. Okay. They're both great albums. I love both dearly, but Power Slave by a hair.
Okay, and Lance? Forgetting about the album cover, but what's your choice?
I love the cover for Defenders of the Faith. I'm going Priest.
I do too.
I'm going Priest again. I spent more time with Defenders of the Faith than I did Power Slave. So I'm not, there really is no wrong answer, but okay. I got to go with Priest.
Okay. And I'm next. So I would go with Maiden. And I think everybody already knows why. And Eric, are you taking Maiden for the win, or are we going to have a tie?
Yeah, this is a really hard one because I've never, like, really thought too deeply about this. And, like, Metallica would definitely be, like, a runner-up for me as far as just band overall in the 80s. But you know this, Blake, and John might know it, but Blake has known me for many years. So Iron Maiden is, like, my all-time favorite band. So Iron Maiden in the 80s was number one for me. Judas Priest, if I'm going to reflect, I would say Priest was number two. I really love Sabbath, more 70s Sabbath. But right. I love Metallica. Metallica was like it too. But I got to go, if we're looking like album to album, those are my two favorite bands from the 80s. I would never have an issue with somebody saying Defenders of the Faith, maybe over Power Slave. But on any given day, I would choose between Peace of Mind, Number of the Beast, Peace of Mind, Power Slave. Those are like my three favorite albums, and you can flip a coin. So it's going to be Power Slave for me.
Okay, so that makes...
It's a perfect album, 10 out of 10.
So that makes Power Slave our choice for best album of 1984. So all these other websites, YouTube channels that have done this, yours is canceled because we're the ones that know everything, right? So...
Horns up for the Metal Pit.
Now, even though when I went into this, I thought Metallica would be in there. Because I don't know what I would, if it was Metallica against Iron Maiden, I would have had a really hard choice there.
I would guess that you would choose Lightning because that is your favorite Metallica, right? Yeah. And Beast is your favorite Maiden.
Yes, correct? That's right.
I know Beast is your favorite Maiden.
Yeah. So anyway, there we go. It's the first time we've done this. I thought that was pretty cool.
A few albums from 84 that we missed that certainly belong in this. You got Madonna, Like a Virgin. You got Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. Where are those in this mix?
They're not. They don't have enough guitars.
Okay.
I think those are horns down.
There was probably some other metal albums that could have been in here, like Saxon's Crusader. I don't have my list here, but I was going to make a note. But I'm sure there's other ones that could have been in here. But anyway, I think the top four is probably what most people would have on their top four list or whatever.
It's strong.
Pretty much.
It was a great year. It was a great year for metal.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't want to start with a year of what's a is it 80, 86? I didn't want that to be the first time we did this because I
love me some 86.
And I figured that Master of Puppets would probably win. So he's probably that year. I'm not sure.
I'm just down to that and Ringling Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are your top two choices. And I love Somewhere.
I'm sure we might do that year sometime. But anyway, I think this was a fun thing to do. And hopefully everybody enjoys this one. And I'm sure we'll do some other years. I might do a hair metal one sometime, not necessarily with you three.
Get some ladies in the mix, right?
We have one of our writers, Kay, who lives in Ohio. She's coming to visit me. She hasn't been on a podcast yet. She wanted to be on this one, but she had to work, or maybe she has a concert tonight. I'm not really sure what she's doing.
That's right. She was busy. Yeah.
Do a hair metal one, right. And then she can be on that, and we'll do that when we're together here when she's coming to visit me. So we'll do that together, see who else wants to join us maybe. And so she can, because I don't know how well she knows all these bands anyway that we did talk about. But anyway, I know, and I got other people that would love to do 1987, 1985, and we could also do
88.
Find
I'd love
more
to do
death metal fans.
88 would be badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Love to do 88.
It was a great year, man.
But I think this was a good thing to do, and I know it should be popular on YouTube for everybody, and hopefully on the podcast, the audio podcast parts too. So thanks all you guys here for joining me to help decide this for us.
Great call, Blake.
I had a great time. Man.
Love your idea,
thank you
buddy.
So much.
That was fun. Thanks so much, Blake.
So thanks for joining me. Thanks for being on the Metal Pit. Thanks everybody for listening. This is our 100th episode, as I said. And we'll probably try to do this maybe once a month, once every 2 months or something like this. Pick a year or maybe pick a genre of metal to do or something like that. Something different than just the albums, but we're looking forward to more great episodes and everything. So thanks everybody for listening and goodbye.